Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax. In this episode, we're going to be talking about authentication, which is something that so many websites have. And in particular, we're going to be talking about how to use and when to use things like local storage versus cookies versus sessions versus tokens, and sort of dive into what all of that means and maybe illuminate some of these things that you have to deal with when dealing with authentication. Now, this episode is sponsored by LogRocket. Now, if you've been listening to Syntax, you probably heard us talk about LogRocket before. LogRocket is an amazing service to allow you to gain full visibility into your bugs. And when I say full visibility, oftentimes we get like stack traces and we get code outputs and error logs, and that feels like full visibility. But you haven't had full visibility until you've had full visibility. And what I mean is, with LogRocket, you get a session replay, which is a video showing you exactly what the user did. It gives you access to the network requests. It gives you access to your Redux store. It gives you access to any sort of console errors or logs or anything that's happening on your site. So not only do you get the stack trace sort of stuff that you would typically get, but you get the full-on experience of what exactly happened. And let me tell you, there's nothing quite like this visibility. So check it out at logrocket.com/syntax and sign up there, and you will get 14 days for free. And it's only going to take 14 days to have one bug pop up and check out this insane visibility. So check it out, logrocket.com/syntax. So authentication. Let's do some introductions here. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado. With me as always is Wes Boss.
Hello. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing real good. Awesome. I'm not sick this week, even though I do have a lingering cough. It seems to not go away. So hopefully I don't sound sick, and I apologize for last week's episodes where I was definitely sounding a little under the weather here, but feeling good. So let's get into it. Where do you want to start here?
Yeah. So we got this question via our potluck that says authentication versus cookies versus sessions. And I like this because it's a kind of a broken question where these things aren't necessarily versus. You might be reading the title and being like, local storage is not something like versus cookies, or tokens might not be versus sessions and things like that. So we thought we'd do a quick explainer episode breaking down sort of these two ideas that we have here. And hopefully you can walk away knowing exactly how they work. A lot of times I think that you're going to be using a framework or something that has this stuff built in under the hood. So you might not necessarily know which one you're using. But then when it comes time to maybe like integrating something like Apollo into your application, you do have to write a little bit of middleware that will sort of take the authentication along for the ride so that your requests actually are approved. So understanding and being in the headspace as to how these things work, I think, is pretty important as a front-end developer.
Absolutely.
So let's break it down into, I like to break it down into two different questions here. So first one question is, what should we do to track our user? So should we use JWT, which is JSON Web Tokens? We've talked about JWT a lot in this podcast. You can go back to some of the previous episodes and listen to that. So we're not going to go super deep on how all that works, but we will go into it a little bit. So how should we track our user? JWT, JSON Web Tokens, or sessions? And the second question we have here is, how do we identify each user on request? Meaning that when you make a request to a server, does the server know about you already, or do you have to send something along to authenticate yourself? And that's generally broken down into two popular ways in the browsers. One is via storing a token in local storage. Mm-hmm. And then the second is either storing a session ID or that token as well in your cookie. And we'll talk about the benefits and downsides to it. So let's start off with the first one that we have here, which is how should we track our users, JWT or session? So let's just explain sort of how both of these JSON Web Tokens and sessions work right now. So let's assume you are signing into a web application. Generally, how that works is you take your username and password and you post that data to an endpoint on your server with the username and password that will come back to you with either a success or something that broken. Assuming it was a success, what that will do is it will come back to you with a JSON web token. And that JSON web token is just a seemingly random token. Although if you were to decrypt if you're just to uncompile the token, you could see that there's generally a user ID and you can store some information in there. Once you have that JWT, you store that JWT somewhere, and that token can be stored. Generally, it's stored in local storage. It can also be stored in a cookie. We'll talk about that in a second. And then upon every single request, you must send along that token for the ride, as it is your sort of ticket to getting passed into authenticated areas. The cookie-based approach is somewhat similar. You generally log into a website. You ping a backend, either via an AJAX request or just a regular POST request with a form. And then what comes back from that is not a token. It's just a response that says it was successful or unsuccessful. But the key here is that on the rebound of that, it generally will set a cookie that has a session ID in it. And that session ID will identify you on the server. And then any other requests from there will be able to have that cookie along for the ride. So far, it makes sense?
Makes sense.
Yes. So token, what's the benefits and downsides to tokens versus sessions? Token-based authentication is stateless. Tokens are probably the newer version of the two. Sessions have been around forever. And token-based authentication is stateless, meaning that you don't need to maintain a list of logged in users on the backend server. And that's really helpful because often people are deploying their website to many serverless functions, or they're deploying microservices to many different servers. And if that's the case, you don't have to maintain like a database of users that is shared between all of these things, which is great. They can be cross-domain. Again, if you're running services across many domain names, that can be helpful. You can store data in tokens like a user ID or some of the user's preferences in a JWT token. And then finally, I think it's really easy to use on like non-websites, meaning if you have like a mobile app that you want to use with your GraphQL API, there's no concept of like cookies in a lot of these or sessions in a lot of these mobile apps, but you can just send along a string of text that is a JWT token. Finally, the one downside to JWT is it's hard to expire them. On a session based, you can just delete the session and that user is just logged out. The only real way to log a user out with tokens is you have to maintain like a blacklist of people who will not be able to, and then you have to add some filtering, or you could just change your algorithm for generating these tokens. And if that's the case, then everybody gets logged out, which sucks.
Yeah, that's like a sort of a blanket solution to that. Just log everybody out. But again, I guess that could be useful in some particular situations. But most oftentimes, if you're trying to just ban or lock someone out, that's not going to be the best idea.
No, not at all. So the flip side is using session-based authentication. And generally, this is popular with server-rendered applications. We talked about how they work. Sessions are stateful. So you generally need to maintain a list of session IDs. So this is probably, if you've ever learned Node.js before, you've got sessions up and running. But then when you kill your server and start it up again, you're logged out and you go, huh, why did I get logged out? And it's because what was happening is by default, a lot of these like Passport.js, they will just maintain a list of sessions in memory. And when you kill your app, all of that memory is cleaned up. So then you have to get like an adapter and store a list of all those sessions in your database and then make sure that you remove them when the session is destroyed, when somebody logs themselves out, or if they're expired after a certain amount of time, you have to run a cron job clean them up. A benefit to sessions is that they're passive. And what that means is that once you are logged in, you have a cookie set in your browser and any other requests to that server will automatically, the cookies come along for the ride for free. Whereas local storage needs to be actively pulled out of local storage and then put in. So one huge benefit to using sessions and cookie-based approach is that your first render can be the logged in view. So if you have a React application, and this is true on my advanced React and GraphQL, we use JWT, but I put them in a cookie. And the reason we do that is so that when you go to the website for the first time after already being logged in, that token comes along for the ride. Whereas sometimes you go to a website and you get the logged out view for a second, and then it goes, it flashes, and then you get the logged in view. That's because they loaded that first view, and then they realized that you had, oh, there's something here in local storage. And then they sent that over to the backend and came back and had to re-render the logged in view that you have.
You know, there. It's funny because I do similar I don't have my token stored in a cookie for server side rendering. And so a lot of those things, I just default to say, if you're logged in, these particular things, just ignore them entirely for server side rendering. And that's only because I haven't had the time to set up the auth or server side rendering component of my stuff. So I definitely feel that aspect of it where just certain components of my website aren't server side rendered just because they require some sort of user thing. And I do get a little bit of a pop here and there on some items.
Yeah, that we should be clear here is if you want to do server rendered JavaScript when a user is authenticated or a user has specific UI for whoever they are, you cannot do that with local storage approach because there's no way to send local storage to the server on every single request. You have to use JavaScript to send it across. It doesn't just happen for free like it does in cookies.
Right.
So that's not a huge deal for a lot of people because once you load the app once, then you have everything there. But for other people, it is. So that's the first little bit, which is how do we track the user? Do we use JSON web tokens or do we use sessions? The second question is how do we identify each user on each request? We kind of already went through this as well. Local storage or cookies. So with local storage, you need to grab the token and send it along for every request. With cookies, that is sent along on every single request. So cookies is much more implicit where it just comes along for free. Tokens are more explicit, although in almost all use cases, you're going to have something like Apollo middleware, or you can set up a special fetch request. And as part of that request, it will just automatically grab it from local storage for you. So it's not like something you have to code into every single request for you. Last thing I want to note here is just security issues. There's lots of debate on either side. Should you use tokens or should you use sessions? What's the better approach? So the security issue with JSON web tokens is that is an XSS security issue. And that means it's a cross-site scripting. What that means is that when somebody else is able to run JavaScript on your domain, then you're in trouble because let's say you had like somebody from badwebsite.com and they were able to somehow run some JavaScript on westboss.com. As soon as they're able to run JavaScript on westboss.com, whether that's a rogue Chrome extension or whether that's just an image that was loaded inappropriately, or in most cases, it's when people don't sanitize their inputs, then that person is able to reach into your local storage because it's all client side, read that token, and now they have access to that token and they can start running requests from wherever they want. So the way that you sort of combat that is making sure that you don't let XSS happen. Some of the sanitization happens for free in React and Angular. If you've ever come across the method in React called dangerously set inner HTML, that's why it's called dangerously set inner HTML, because you generally shouldn't put HTML into an element and then parse it into the DOM unless you are first running it through like purify DOM or something like that, unless you're actually first sanitizing it. And the next one with sessions is XSRF, cross-site request forgery. And there's a whole bunch of YouTube videos that will explain this. There's generally you need a lot of like visuals and graphics to understand how this works. But generally the way that it works is that someone could actually get access to that session ID, or someone can run a request from their website onto your website. And if you don't have things in place, then they can actually trigger malicious actions from a separate domain name. So case in point, if I were to, like, if Scott has like an endpoint on Level Up Tutorials that says pay Wes $1,000, and Scott was logged in to the system and he were to visit my website, because he's logged in and has the cookie for Level Up Tutorials in his browser, I could trigger a request to his own domain from my domain, and then that would trigger the sending all of the money to me, right? And that's sort of like, that sucks because your hands are sort of tied behind your back, and that means that other websites can trigger requests on your website. And the way around that is this thing called CSRF, which is these unique tokens. You'll generally find them in hidden inputs on a form field. So there's downsides to both. You should be aware of what both of them are. I'm by no means a security expert here, but it's probably worth going and watching a couple of YouTube videos as to how both of these things work, just to be aware of potential issues if you're rolling your own system like that. Whew. So
yeah. Whoa. Yeah, I'm gonna give you a round of applause here. That was an excellent little explainer.
Cool. So hopefully that clears a few things up. What should you use? It really doesn't matter too much. But generally, if you are building a React application with your own custom backend, or even if you're using some sort of other backend, a lot of these things are using JSON Web Tokens. If you have a more traditional backend, you probably will be using Sessions. So my Learn Node course uses Sessions, and then my Advanced React and GraphQL uses JSON Web Tokens, just to show how both of them work. Although both courses use cookies instead of putting it into local storage. And the reason is because I want the server rendered auth on both of them.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And all of this stuff scares you. There's always things like Passport.js, Auth0. What other auth? I know Netlify has their identity auth platform. So if all of this stuff scares you, there's definitely other ways to go about this and using services that might take some of the guesswork out of it for you.
Yeah. You look for something like Auth0. They will run the JavaScript side for you, as well as they have packages for your server side. And they will take care of setting it all and all the cross-domain stuff, because it's pretty tricky stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Passport.js won't do any of that for you. Passport.js will just actually generate the tokens or generate the sessions for you. And then you still need to set them into a cookie or store them in local storage on every single request.
Yeah, there's certainly various levels of assistance, right? Between like even services that will do it all for you to ones that just help you out here and there. So cool.
Yeah. So if you've got your own specific way of handling authentication or your own service that you prefer, make sure you tweet us at SyntaxFM. Anything else to add here, Scott?
I got nothing. No, that was very informative, Wes.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you on Wednesday.
Cool.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.